We'll return to that passage of Scripture we read a little earlier, please, to Psalm 120. Just with God's Word open before us, let us bow together in a brief word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the great truths of this hymn that we have been singing, that Christ is a friend indeed. He is the friend of sinners. He is the friend of His people who love Him at all times. In every circumstance, in every situation of life, we thank Thee that we have in Christ one that faileth not, one who will be with us to the end of life's journey, one who will bear His people safely across the River Jordan of death into everlasting life and glory itself. Lord, we do pray afresh today for the Mitchell family. We pray for Tommy, pray for David and Shirley and the family. We pray for Lorna and Keith and the family, that entire family circle today. Lord, strengthen them and encourage them and help them through these difficult times, we pray. We pray, Lord, that they might know what it is that to cast their burden upon the Lord. And may they know that strength and that sustaining grace, and day by day in their great time of need. Lord, bless us now around Thy Word. Open our hearts and our minds today to hear what God the Lord would say. We pray that Thou would lead us and guide us and direct us by Thy Spirit, that Thy Word will be imprinted indelibly and effectually upon all of our hearts, and that Thou would use Thy Word today to help every child of Thine to go on with God. Use it, O God, to the saving of souls. Lord, use it to the exaltation of Christ. Undertake, O God, we pray of Thee, and give help and abide with us, we pray. For we ask it all in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Now, Psalm 120, the psalm that was read with you this morning, is the first of 15 psalms in the Bible that are known to us as the Songs of Degrees. Now, these songs, some were composed by David, some by Solomon, and also some by King Hezekiah of Judah. Now, some Bible commentators would tell us that these songs were sung on each of the 15 steps which joined the outer court of the temple in Jerusalem to the inner court as the people worshipped there. Others would say that they were sung at different stages by Israel on their journey back and their return back from exile and captivity in the land of Babylon. And then there are others, and they will say to us that these songs also were sung at different intervals in the annual pilgrimages to Jerusalem at the set feasts by the different tribes of Israel. These psalms in themselves, these songs are really a record of the religious and spiritual experience of God's ancient people. And why they are recorded for us in the Word of God for direction, for encouragement and for edification of the Church of Christ today. And it's for this reason that I want us to commence a study of these songs with you as a congregation over the next few weeks in our Sunday morning meetings. And we begin today by looking here at Psalm 120. Now David, he penned this psalm himself whenever he was fleeing from Saul. Whenever he was falsely accused and slandered by Doeg the Edomite. And why has David experienced the strife of tongues in his life? So every Christian also can also from time to time experience the strife of tongues in their life. Whenever that believer seeks to faithfully live for the Lord and live for the Lord Jesus Christ and witness for the Lord. Yes, his character will often be maligned by the ungodly. Apostle Paul warned Timothy of this very fact for all who live faithfully for Christ, for he says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ shall suffer a persecution. Yes, the Christian can bear reproach for Christ from time to time in his life. And when that happens in the life of the Christian, no matter what kind of reproach it is, it's important that the believer maintains a good testimony for God. It's important that the believer goes on with the Lord in their work and witness for Christ. And in the psalm here before us this morning, David shows the believer how to deal with strife in his own life, and how to go on serving the Lord and witnessing for His Redeemer. Notice first of all with me here the complaint of the psalmist. Notice the psalmist's complaint. You see that in verse 5 of the psalm. When he says there, woe is me, that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Now Mesech and Kedar were countries that were inhabited in David's day by the Turk and the Arabian. And these people were noted for their ferocity and their barbarity. And such is the attack here upon David at this time that he feels as if he is living among such a people. You look at verse 2 of the psalm there, you see how David's enemies had spoken lies against him. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Yes, their tongue was full of treachery, full of deceit against David. And this was something that greatly distressed David. Notice how he begins the psalm. He says, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. This was a time of great trial for David when he was fleeing from Saul. Again, if you look at verses 6 and 7 of the psalm, there those verses reveal that David's enemies, they hated peace. You see there that war and mischief was in their heart. Notice what he says in those two verses. He says, my soul had long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And there you can see that at this juncture in his life, David's enemies were implacable. David wanted to live in peace and go on with God. He was a gracious man. But this was not so with Saul and his enemies who were against him at this particular time. You know, dear people of God, this morning, whenever we analyze this and add it all up, the complaint here of David in the psalmist reminds us also that every faithful Christian, whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are to be found, will also face opposition in this life when they seek to live for Christ and to stand for God. You remember the words of Paul and Barnabas as they addressed and ministered God's word to the church at Antioch. They said this, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And there Saul and Barnabas or Paul were warning the believers there that there was much tribulation in the Christian life before they would enter into heaven, into glory. That it wasn't all plain sailing. That it wasn't a bed of roses. My, that is oftentimes the lot of God's people when they seek to live for Christ and serve the Lord in their day and generation. My, this persecution was prophesied back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 in the verse number 15. In that verse there you have God speaking and he speaks that the devil would bruise the heel of Christ. And in that word you have a prophecy. Not only would Christ be attacked, but his own people would be attacked by the ungodly. That verse says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that speaks also of the persecution of the Christian. Again, think of what Peter says to the believer in the New Testament. He says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Dear child of God in the meeting this morning, whether you're saved recently just converted, or whether you are saved a long time, remember this, that Satan will always be against you. Until the very day you enter into heaven and glory. In fact, dear Christian, the more you live for Christ, the more you serve Christ, the closer you come to Christ in your Christian life, the fiercer that battle will rage against your soul by the evil one. Mine opposing you, the devil will do all he can to hinder you and your witness for Christ. Maybe even by you having to bear reproach for the name of Christ. From the lips of others. Think of Christ, the sinless Son of God. He was perfect, yet the Bible speaks of Christ. It says he was reviled. Christ knew what it was to be mocked by the ungodly. Christ knew what it was to be scorned by the ungodly. Oh, child of God, don't think it a strange thing My, when you bear reproach like David, even like Christ, for your witness, for the Savior, for the Lord. My, when you faithfully live for God, live for Christ, the devil will see to it, dear believer, that you at some point in your life will have to bear the strife of tongues. Yes, the Lord warns you about this very matter in the Scriptures. Turn with me back to Matthew's Gospel. Look with me at what the Lord says to the disciples here in verses 11 and verse 12 of Matthew chapter 5. And this just didn't apply to the 12 disciples. This applies to every Christian. It applies to you and I who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting this morning. Look at what the Lord says in verses 11 and 12 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Notice what he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Child of God, you and I aren't to count it a strange thing when we bear reproach for the name of Christ, for the sake of our Savior. At this present time, prayer has been requested for a Christian pastor in the land of Iran. He is converted from being a Muslim to being a Christian. Present time, he's sitting on death row. 3 times he's been brought in before the judge and before a court. And he's been asked to recant of his faith in Christ. And 3 times he has said no. He is going on with the Lord. Normally when that happens, you don't hear anything more about that Christian. They're just taken out of the scene and executed. There's a man on death row for his faith in Christ. Well, we sit here in freedom and liberty here in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, Christian, in this country you may not be persecuted physically for your witness for Christ. But my, you can be persecuted verbally. You can suffer the strife of tongues from the ungodly for your witness for the Lord. My, it can happen a lot of any Christian. A dear child of God, when that happens, your life, you're to rejoice and be glad that you're being counted to suffer reproach for the name of Christ. Dear believer, do not become downcast. Do not cease to serve the Lord, your Savior. Rather, go on with God. Go on with the work of God. Go on with the cause of Christ. Far better, dear child of God, to be in the Lord's side and bear reproach for Christ than to be with the devil's crowd and with the company of the ungodly. My Napoleon Bonaparte, that great emperor of a bygone era, once said that God was on the side of big battalions. That's what he said when he was tramping over Europe. And he really was implying that God was on the side of might and power of men. But you know, he was completely wrong in that statement that he made. Because the Word of God makes it very clear that God is only on the side of righteousness. God is only on the side of truth. The Bible makes it very clear that God is against all ungodliness of man, wherever it is to be found. He is against all unrighteousness. He is against all that is untrue. He is against all that is contrary to His Word and to His truth. Listen to what God says, dear people, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. He says, "Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Dear child of God, better to be in the minority with God's people than to be with the devil's crowd amongst the ungodly. And my, when you're counted to bear reproach for Christ, for your faithfulness to the Lord, to His Word and to His testimony in your life, rejoice. My, it is something the Lord has spoken of, something the Lord has prophesied. Oh, child of God, when you live in accordance with God's Word, no matter who speaks against you, God will one day vindicate your witness, as He did with the psalmist in our psalm. Yes, we see here the complaint of the psalmist. But notice secondly with me this morning the supplication of the psalmist. Look at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. There you see his supplication. He prays, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. And there you see David prays. He prays here specifically that God would deliver him from the evil tongue. He appeals here to him who is the heart of all men in his hand. He calls here upon him who can bridle the human tongue. I praise here that his enemies would not work his ruin by their lies. Yes, David, you see, was a godly man. A man, we're told, was a man after God's own heart. A man himself who hated lies. In Psalm 119 he says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. David also prayed that God would keep himself from the lying tongue. In verse 29 of Psalm 119 he said, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Here we see how David prays that he would be delivered from the lies of others against him and the consequences of their lies. He says here in verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And there you see that David does the wisest thing in his time of need. He takes his trial, he takes his burden to the Lord. His trial drives him to his knees. His trial drives him to prayer. Well, there was no better place for David to have gone, no better thing for David to have done in his time of need than to pray and to seek the Lord and to call upon the Lord. And dear believer in Christ, when you feel the tongue of the ungodly against you and your witness for Christ, learn from David here. Follow David's example. Take your case to the Lord in prayer. Heed the example of the psalmist in Psalm 37 when he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Dear believer, in committing your case to the Lord will protect your name. He will protect your character. He will do justice to your testimony. Yes, when the ungodly lifts up their tongue or their lip against you, dear child of God, learn to cast that burden upon the Lord in prayer. David says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The hymn writer says, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Take it to God in prayer. Oh, dear believer, when you're mocked for being a Christian, when others speak evil of you for your witness for Christ, child of God, don't you retaliate with the same. Be like Christ. Follow the example of the believer. The Bible says, who when he was reviled, it says of Christ, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Don't go down the way of the ungodly and harm your testimony as a believer. Follow the example of Christ, whom when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You turn over to Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. Here you read of the two chapters when the Lord and his people, the people of Judah, were being mocked and being assailed by the Assyrians. It was a great time of trouble when the enemy was encamped round about Jerusalem, about Judea. And what did Hezekiah do in the time of need? He followed David's example in our psalm. He prayed. He cast this burden upon the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 37, verses 14 and 15 and verse number 20. Notice how he prays. Verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 37, it says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, that's of the Assyrians, and read it. And Hezekiah went up into, notice, the house of the Lord, and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah, notice it, prayed unto the Lord. Look at part of his prayer in verse 20. He said, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the nations of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. What an example he leaves for God's people in their time of need. Hezekiah took this letter up before the Lord in the house of God. He spread it before the Lord. And he prayed that God would help him. That God would meet his need. That God would deliver him from the strife of the ungodly. O believer in Christ, when your God is mocked, when you are mocked as a believer by the ungodly, follow the example here of Hezekiah. Go to prayer. Get down upon your knees. Bring your case before the Lord in prayer. And dear child of God, if the trial of your faith drives you to your knees in prayer, it will be a blessing indeed. Yes, David's complaint, David's supplication. Notice one final thing just from the psalm this morning. Notice with me the psalmist's prediction. Notice what he predicted in verses 3 and 4 of the psalm. Notice his words. He says, "What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper." Now we might just pass over those words and think they're not important, but every word in the scripture is important. And what David is saying there in verses 3 and 4, he's predicting God's judgment upon those who had risen up against him as God's servant, as God's faithful witness in his day and generation. David here predicts God's judgment upon those who had spoken against him, those who had maligned him as a believer and as witness for Christ. And the ungodly may have thought that their words were out of the reach of God and out of the reach of God's wrath, but this was not so. In verse 4 there of the psalm, you notice how David mentions the arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. My juniper wood was used for charcoal in Bible times. Why? Because it burned with great heat. It burned with great intensity. It would burn for an awful long time. And thus David is really showing us and telling us here that God's wrath would be terrible upon those ungodly tongues that had risen up against him when he was fleeing from Saul. My, in fact, he was saying that their judgment would be eternal. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, God's word says, "But all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." This is the second death. What a prediction. And my David was able to make this prediction. Why? Because in verse 1 of the psalm, you'll notice, he has the assurance that God heard his prayer and that God was going to answer his prayer. He says, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me." God heard his cry and God was going to deal with Saul and with Doeg who had risen up against him. God's judgment was going to come upon them. And again, it was the case with Hezekiah when he and the people of God were mocked by the Assyrians and by the ungodly who mocked the Lord and mocked their God. God heard Hezekiah's prayer. God intervened and God judged the camp of the Assyrians. It says in verses 36 to 38 of Isaiah 37. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. It came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. Eskershadon, his son, reigned in his stead." God dealt with those who were against the Lord and the Lord's people and the Lord's cause in the day of Hezekiah. Dear people, God's justice may run slow. But I tell you this, the wheels of God's justice, they always run sure. God's wheels of justice are always sure. They're always certain. And dear Christian, this morning I say to you by way of encouragement, take encouragement today. God will always deal with every hindrance that the devil uses against you to hinder you in your walk with God and your work for Christ and your witness for the Lord. God has promised to vindicate his people who faithfully serve the Lord and witness for Christ and the cause of Christ. Turn with me your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Look with me at the very last verse of the chapter, verse number 17. Look at this tremendous promise. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Christian, as you faithfully live for Christ, faithfully serve the Lord, and maybe you're feeling the opposition of the ungodly today. The heat of the battle is against you as a believer from going on with God and serving the Lord. Remember this, that Christian, God has promised to you, no weapon that is formed against thee, he says, shall prosper. What a statement you have here. What a promise. What an encouragement, dear believer, to go on with the Lord when you find yourself being opposed as a witness for Christ and for the gospel of the Lord. But you know, dear people, whenever we read here in this psalm of God's wrath upon those who had spoken lies against David, sure, this ought also to be a warning to every Christian, to every one of us who are saved, to always speak the truth. You turn with me in your Bible over to Proverbs chapter 6. Look with me at verses 16 to 19. Here the Word of God lists six things that God hates. And they're very solemn, yet they're very important and poignant. Notice what he says in verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 6. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Notice the mention there of a lying tongue and a false witness. That was the sin of Doeg in particular against David in the psalm. And my, the liar who dies unsaved will face God's judgment in hell. Yes, in this life the child of God may speak things that are untrue, sadly tell lies from time to time, but in this life they will not escape the chastening hand of God. You see, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And God will always chasten his people when they go a wrong way or a wrong pathway, something that is contrary to God. God says, those whom he loves, he will chasten. Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States of America, said, I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep on doing it to the end. That was the ambition, the goal of a man who served mere man, who served mere mortal men. Well, dear Christian, such words should be your constant ambition as you seek to serve Christ in your daily life and witness, as you seek to serve him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as God's people, we need to be careful what we say. We need to guard our lips. And our daily prayer should be that God would keep us from saying that which is untrue, that God would ever help us to speak that which is true. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 30 and the verse number 8 of the chapter. Notice what Agur here prayed before the Lord, and he was a mighty servant of the Lord. But notice how he prayed and verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 30. He prays to the Lord, remove far from me. Notice it. Vanity and lies. He didn't want to be like the ungodly. He didn't want his words to be like those who knew not the Lord. He wanted words that were truth, that were honest, that were in accordance with God's word. And that was his prayer. And that's a good prayer for you and I to pray daily as God's people, as we go out into this world, as we face the ungodly day by day, that God will remove from us vanity and lies. Turn again with me back to Psalm 19. And look again at what David prays in Psalm 19 and the verse number 14 of that great psalm. Notice the prayer of David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Notice his prayer in verse 14 of Psalm 19. He prays, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, notice it, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. David again was praying about his lips, about his words, about his heart. His prayer was that he would speak right words, true words, words of honesty, words of integrity, words that would glorify the Lord in every part and detail of his life, day by day. And again, dear people of God, that's a good prayer for us to utter daily. As we go out to face the world, as we go out to live for Christ and our Savior. And if you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, let me say this, that if you are to glorify God in your life, if you are to be accepted into God's heaven, saved from your sins, saved from a lost eternity in hell, then now in time you must come to Christ. You must turn from your sins, confess your sins to Christ, and accept Him as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can have peace with God, be sure of heaven, know all your sins forgiven, and live to God's honor and glory here in life, is when you come as a sinner to Christ, and we trust Him as your own personal Savior. That's how it was with David, for he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. Tell me today, can you say the same? The Lord is my shepherd, my Savior, my all in all. Oh, may you trust Him, and then by His grace, day by day, live for His honor, live for His glory. We're just going